Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back into the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. It is Tim May, the 41-year vet. It is Andy Backstrom. It is Spencer Holbrook. It is Ohio State practice number 6 of spring football in the books. Larry Johnson, Keenan Bailey was supposed to be Tony Alford. Ohio State doesn't have a running backs coach, so we didn't talk to him today. He's somewhere up in Schembechler Hall doing his thing. We're in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center worrying about what we can control. And Larry Johnson and Keenan Bailey had a lot to say. Tim, what'd you take away?
You got to love the depth if you're into defensive line play. You've got to love the depth of the 2024 Buckeyes as we speak right now. From the standpoint of the defensive line, the numbers of guys that have come back, but also the numbers of guys who are rising. Mm-hmm. This is one of those confluences that's rare in major college football anymore, that you get a mix of veterans with young guys. And I still call Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry young guys because we haven't got to see them play, like, you know, as much as maybe we thought they would at this point. But one of the reasons is you got Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau sitting there, and then in the interior of the defensive line, there you just get the sense that Jim Knowles, from talking with Jim Knowles a lot, or you know, this spring, there's a lot that he'd like to do with this defense, and a lot of it hinges off the fact of the depth of the defensive line, not only the depth, but the quality, what these guys can bring from a dropping standpoint of JT and Jack Sawyer to maybe you may see a 5-man line out there on occasion, you know, and it may be fool's gold because it may be up to shenanigans. Just the diversity it brings to a defense when you've got that many guys back who can play.
I'm going to stay on the defensive line, and we talk about Jack Sawyer, we talk about JT Tuimoloau, Tyleek Williams, but we often don't talk about Ty Hamilton, who Larry Johnson called a hammer, a sleeping giant, someone that can really make a big impact on this defensive line, and I think it rounds out that group. The question is, who's the third defensive tackle that can kind of step up? Last year it was Ty Hamilton. Okay, now Ty Hamilton's probably going to start, so who's going to be that guy? And it seems like they haven't figured that out yet, and that's okay. They still have a lot of time to do that. But some of the candidates are Pierre Canoe, Caden McDonald, Jason Moore, Will Smith. You kind of go down the line, Tywan Malone, a guy who came in last year, was trying to make the transition from moving away from baseball and playing two sports to now just focusing on football. He's also in that mix. So there's a ton of guys. But Larry Johnson said that, you know, it's beneficial because you're going to be playing potentially 16, 17 games. They haven't seen that kind of a length of a season before. And so now that's going to be even more critical to have that kind of depth. And he said they may even just play more young guys earlier on in the season than they have in the past because of that.
Yeah, with the 3 games in front of Iowa and Oregon, you look at that 3-game schedule with Marshall and Akron and whoever else it is, I don't even remember it off the top of my head, it's pretty poor. So you get the chance to do that early in the season, and you can kind of, you know, worry about the wear and tear on the guys later. My big takeaway today is that Jason Moore is making a real push this spring. You know, we saw Caden McDonald come in the spring last year, and by the end of November, he was starting to play some pretty good football. He was on the field at times during the Cotton Bowl. Well, Jason Moore came in June, and so he didn't have that spring ramp up. He didn't have winter workouts with the Buckeyes. This year, now he's got a season and then winter workouts and now spring football under his belt, and he's starting to get there. And I think that's huge. He's 6'5", he's 295 pounds. Guys like him simply do not grow on trees because the trees would snap because he's so big. So, like, yes, there are plenty of candidates there, but the more and more I hear from people behind those black doors over there here in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, and then you hear it from, you know, from Larry Johnson's mouth, Jason Moore is making the push that you wanted him to make. He's a former top 60 guy. Yep. Ohio State loved that they were able to land him. You know, in the recruiting class, and now you're starting to see that pay off. He's becoming one of those guys, and obviously Caden McDonald's going to make headlines because of the push he made last year. Hero Canoe, I think, needs to be more consistent. I think we heard that from Larry today. But you talk about a guy who's making that push, and it seems like Jason Moore is the guy to point to there.
Yeah, I agree. Then on the flip side, the tight ends, we got to talk to Keenan Bailey, the tight ends coach, also part of the special teams confederation
apparatus.
Yeah, confederation of coaches who've been charged with, you know, as he said, they didn't bring up last year, but I'm going, well, the main reason these guys are all parsing out jobs on the special teams front is because of the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they're in charge, he and Brian Hartline, in charge of the return units, both from punt and kickoff, and just how they're divvying up their time in that regard. But basically, there's no excuses. They got to get after it. You know, that might have been an afterthought for these guys at times the last several years. But what stands out is when I asked Keenan, I said, when you look out there and see G. Scott now, do you see a tight end, meaning physically? Mm-hmm. And he understood what I was asking him, because, you know, when G. Scott moved over from wide receiver, they were trying to find a role there, but trying to create almost a hybrid guy who could be line up as a tight end, but be you know, stretching defenses down the field to the edges and things like that. And I can see by Spencer checking his watch, I'm running out of time here. But the bottom line is, G. Scott's the leader of that room right now. You know, three years ago, he was an experiment almost. And so that's a room to keep your eye on, with Will Kaczmarek transferring in from Ohio U. It sounds like he's in a learning curve with this offense based on the way Keenan spoke of him. And those other guys, he thinks he has six guys who eventually can contribute in some form or fashion. We'll see if they get to that.
Well, on the special teams point, he said the reason why Patrick Gerd played last year as a walk-on is because of special teams. And so he said the buy-in there, he wants as many tight ends as possible making an impact on special teams. That's a way to get on the field for that group. I asked about Bennett Christian, who was not able to play last year because of his suspension for a substance he used that was not allowed. And that was back in, I think, right before the Peach Bowl that happened, that testing process. He took accountability for that right away, came out in front of it, said, I didn't do the right thing. I didn't know that was a banned substance. I take full accountability. And Keenan Bailey said that he's really been impressed with the way he's handled the last year. Now, of course, Bennett Christian's in that mix. Again, we've seen him catching passes out here. It seems like he's someone that also to talk about in this conversation of who's going to step up, because, it's not just going to be one guy who's going to replace Cade Stover. You're going to need a fleet of guys. And I think that's going to be really intriguing to see who steps up. Jelani Thurman is a name that I think we all talk about. We talked about a lot last offseason. And he started actually in the Cotton Bowl, but only played a few snaps. And Keenan Bailey was asked, what happened there? Was he supposed to play a bigger role? It seems like he was, but just the way that game was unfolding, they just had to go back to, I guess, what they thought was the best way for them to get back on track, and nothing really worked offensively in that game.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, like, Jelani, great target. We saw it last spring. But, like, you've got to be able to do everything in this tight end room. And I don't think he got there last year. He's working to get there this spring, and that's still a work in progress. I think the same can be said in a completely different way for Will Kaczmarek, who did it at Ohio at a high level. And, Keenan is good buddies with Brian Metz, but also he calls him one of the best tight end coaches in the country. I know Brian from my time covering Ohio, and I would agree with that. Will Kaczmarek has learned under a very good tight ends coach, somebody who I think will elevate himself through the coaching ranks. That gives you a leg up, even if you're coming from the MAC. When you have a guy who the Ohio State coaching staff really respects, who taught him, that means that he can step in and kind of hit the ground running. I expect some pretty big things from Will Kaczmarek, especially after hearing what Keenan said. Keenan's as nice as of a guy as Keenan is, he's kind of no nonsense in some ways, where like he's going to tell you how it is. And he didn't glow about Jelani today. He didn't glow about Bennett, other than like the work ethic and the way that he tackled that. But he's telling us, where guys have a long way to go, when guys need to step up. And, he's calling out his room. He's not a sugarcoat kind of young coach. But I heard some things today about Will Kaczmarek. I heard those things about, like you said, about Jelani in a way, where he's talking about the things that he can get better at, G. Scott. Like, he's excited about this room, and I think there's reason to be, Tim, because there's a lot of talent here. You just kind of have to sort through the shortcomings of each of these guys and figure out how they best fit into this offense, the new-look offense with Chip Kelly.
Yeah, I agree. But, the interesting thing was he did gloat a little bit about Jelani Thurman a year ago. I'm talking about Keenan did.
Mm-hmm.
Jelani Thurman, he was one of the early freshmen to lose their black stripe. He might have been the first one, if I remember correctly, but he was definitely up there, and mm-hmm. I thought he did in the spring. And then just sort of disappeared, in my opinion, just sort of disappeared from the thinking process of getting him into games for the most part last year, pretty much till the end of the year. And it was a little bit of a, you know, some of the playing time he got was because Cade got banged up, and, you know, right on down the line, Cade Stover did. So I think Jelani is one of those. Matter of fact, I think I might have featured him in some story I wrote. I forget about what I write, and, you know, I'm getting old now, you know. But the bottom line is he's one of those guys you wanted, if you were watching Ohio State, you would want to see step up in this spring and assert himself, because he clearly looks the part.
Mm-hmm.
In a 12 personnel situation, he's a guy that could handle himself on the edge, but also stretch the field. He's tall. He brings a lot to the table from the passing game, over the middle aspect, and things like that. I mean, just he definitely looks the part now. As a consistency is the word they used, and you know, we've heard that word used with other guys like Kenyatta Jackson at defensive end, right on down the line. Consistency meaning doing it play to play. Every play and showing that you know what you're doing out there, et cetera. I'm not saying taking plays off. Sometimes you can take a play off and you didn't mean to because you weren't clear on what it was your assignment was, et cetera. So if he comes along, it's going to make that tight end room look a lot better.
Yeah, just to wrap up, Andy, I'm going to let you kind of talk about Kenyatta a little bit, because I know that's something that you've been interested in here in the last couple of days. But, you know, Kenyatta, Caden Curry, Edrick Houston, like, it's not just the defensive tackles that can't play 700, 800, 900 snaps this year. You know, it's also the defensive ends. Jack and JT can't be out there for every play. So who's going to step up there? Caden and Kenyatta are the obvious answers. I asked Larry about Edrick Houston. Everybody wanted to talk about his recruitment today, but he's here now. Like, he signed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where's his progression? And Larry had some good things to say, but it's still a transition phase. We talk about Kenyatta and Caden, though. Like, those guys are entrenched in this program. This is year three. Like, they're supposed to be, like, the next guys who were in the 2025 NFL draft boards. And instead, they're, like, behind the scenes while Jack and JT are still kind of soaking up the limelight. You know, not because they want that, but just because they're in that position as senior leaders. So, like, Caden and Kenyatta might be the two most intriguing defensive players on this entire roster just because of the spot that they're in. Nobody expected them to be in this spot, but here they are in year three, but still playing a backup role.
Yeah, I think we saw a lot from Caden last year, though. I think especially him even earning some offensive snaps, the role he continues to play on special teams, you know, the role he played in a backup role as a defensive end. I felt like he wreaked some havoc last year. Mm-hmm. With Kenyatta, though, the way that Ryan Day talked about him at Big Ten Media Days, you know, describing him as a guy that looked like an NFL player. And, you know, that's why I asked Ryan about that the other week. You know, with all that praise, he did not play as much as we expected. And when he did play, he didn't even make the impact that, like, Caden Curry made. I felt like Caden Curry made a little bit more of an impact. There were moments for Kenyatta, but it's, again, as Tim said, it's consistency. And basically, kind of the mantra of this is that Kenyatta can be as good as he wants to be. Mm-hmm. And it's just putting in that work of, you know, consistent work ethic. And so, yeah, but there's some real potential there. It's not just Jack and JT, although those are the guys that are mentioned, not only by Larry Johnson, but also Keenan Bailey, of just like, my guys go up against those guys every single day. And I think that that's just another benefit for a young tight end room that's getting the, you know, the added bonus of these guys coming back for another year.
Yeah. Tim, anything to close us out? You good?
I just think, go back to what I said. I mean, if Kenyatta Jackson steps up on the defensive side and Jelani Thurman steps up on the offensive side at the ends, tight end and defensive end, those guys are specimens. I mean, they look the part.
Mm-hmm.
Can they play the part, you know? Yeah. You know, I don't want to get into a bunch of television or movie analogies now, but, you know, it's time to step up there into one of those starring kind of roles. And I think that's what's intriguing about this team. I keep going back to is it's not just the guys they've got back, but the rising guys in the midst of it. I say it all the time, that if you get at Ohio State, that that's different. The way they can keep guys here for the most part, the benefit comes in that third or fourth year. And you could see a lot of guys bubbling up this year.
Well, here, I'll do one for you, Tim. And maybe it's completely wrong, but I'll do it because I like you, Tim. You know when you're working on the alternate car or an Indy car And you got to have it ready, even though the backup car, even though it's not the original Indy car, and it's going to run the Indy 500, and then somebody wrecks in practice laps, and you got to go to that. That alternate car's got to be ready, Tim.
It's got to have the wings tuned.
That car's got to be ready. And so you got a lot of those cars have got to be ready for the Indy 500 that is the 2024 season.
Yeah, and this isn't necessarily, this is like playing those cars during the midst of the race to make sure they're running.
How'd I do?
You did pretty well, except it ain't like the old days, man. You want to play eight guys up front minimum. You want eight guys rolling through there, preferably 12. And we'll see if they can get to that point. I don't know if they can or not. But where Ohio State fans should be buoyed is the way that, in my opinion, you got some rising talent there in the middle of the defensive line at the tackle spots, which could really come to the fore because, like Larry Johnson said, and I followed up on it, just, you know, there's a possibility of them playing, if they get their dream, at least a 16-game season and possibly a 17-game season this year. Unprecedented in college football. So you got to have those guys. It's a necessity.
Absolutely is. Tim's going to grab a glass of water. He's got a little voice
thing
there.
I started getting verklempt there when y'all started extending out the analysis of some of these guys because it's pretty obvious who's got to step up.
Well, Tim's going to go grab a glass of water. Andy's going to make his way over to the shot because he's got to cover Ohio State, Georgia tonight. Andy, they're going to win?
I think so.
They going to win, Tim, you think?
Georgia or Ohio State?
Ohio State.
It's a Peach Bowl.
I think
rematch.
Ohio State definitely. I mean, you're at home, and I think Ohio State should have been in the field of 68. I don't know why they weren't, and Michigan State was. But, yeah, I think Ohio State wins at home and moves on to Butler. It's at Hinkle Fieldhouse at Butler in Indianapolis for the for the final four of the NIT.
Well, there you have it, folks.
That's my prediction.
Tim May, the 41-year vet, Andy Backstrom, me, Spencer Holbrook, wrapping up day six of Ohio State spring camp. We'll be back in here on Thursday for more coverage. And then Saturday, the big one, a student appreciation day, also a little bit of what Tim likes to call media appreciation day. We'll watch the entire thing on Saturday. We're going to have a full breakdown of what we saw, what we heard, what we see. I guess those are the same things. And taking in the sights and sounds of Student Appreciation Day.
Wait, remember the old line? Listen to me now and hear me later.
Yeah, exactly.
Hans and Franz.
We'll be in here for Student Appreciation Day. We'll be in here Thursday. But until then, you can go to lettermanrow.com, get the full coverage of the Ohio State Buckeyes basketball and football and anything else that Ohio State's up to these days for $1. That's right. Your next month will be $1. After that, we'll talk about pricing, but I think you'll like it enough where you won't care. For Tim May, the 41-year vet, for Andy Backstrom, I'm just Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys back in here on Thursday.